This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. So for the past few weeks, demonstrations have been happening on college campuses across the country. At the University of Texas at Austin. At the University of Minnesota. And a bunch of other schools too, including some local ones like the University of Chicago.
Students are putting up tents, they're occupying these campus spaces and demanding that their schools both acknowledge what's happening in Gaza and respond to it in certain ways.
This is my colleague, Lisa Kurian Phillip, WBEZ's higher education reporter, and she's been following the protests both here and across the country. She says the student protesters setting up these encampments, which are, you know, groups of tents that occupy spaces on campus, they're part of a movement inspired by pro-Palestinian protesters at Columbia College in New York.
Do these students who are putting up these encampments, are they sharing a common goal or do they have similar strategies? What are they trying to get college administrators to do?
There are a lot of similarities between what students are asking for, and a really common theme is divestment. So they're asking that their universities remove any financial investments from companies that do business with Israel or in any way support what's happening in Gaza in terms of the violence against the Palestinian people there. I've heard many students say, we just want our administrations to acknowledge the violence there and then also just to know what our schools are investing in.
Mm-hmm. Me and Lisa are going to talk about how things are playing out in the Chicago area and why, although tensions are high, the campus encampments here have so far been less chaotic and police-heavy than campuses elsewhere.
So I want to get into some of the local colleges and universities that are seeing these encampments happen. Let's start with the University of Chicago. You were there on Monday at the exact moment when the student protesters set up their encampment. Take me there. What happened?
Yeah, that's right. So I walked to the quad. I was there a little bit before 10. And it was very quiet. There were just, you know, it's like a Monday morning on campus, so there aren't a lot of folks around. And then right at 10, I see students just rushing in from all directions. They've got all of their gear. They're all like being very intentional about putting their tents up at the, you know, the same time. They have these big wooden signs that say things like, you know, divest and free Gaza. And like, it was very strategic and intentional. And they had all obviously thought a lot about how they were going to do this. And they had these student marshals that were wearing yellow vests so that if anyone was having issues, they could go, you know, talk to those people and get some help. So as the morning went on, you see just this little infrastructure come together with a medic tent, a press tent, and just this kind of very organized encampment.
How do you think they pulled that off? Do you think that they worked with some strategizers, some professional organizers? Do you have a sense of how they really brought this together?
I think there was some of that. And I think the various campus movements are definitely learning from each other too. Cause, you know, I saw the student marshal system at Northwestern, which, you know, had already begun up before you Chicago's. And I know there were Chicago organizers who weren't necessarily affiliated with you Chicago, but they spoke at the rally there. So I imagine that they're definitely learning from each other, learning from activists who aren't students as well to really think this through before they, you know, go through with it. Because there is risk there, you know, we've seen at other campuses, not in Chicago, but in other places, the campus police being sent in and these and violence breaking out. And so I think like students were trying to be very deliberate.
Well, I mean, this is a sensitive issue. And like you said, there are risks. And so, yeah, it's important. And I'm glad that they're taking it seriously. So you were there to see the encampment go up and see, you know, the process, but you also were there to talk to folks. Tell me about some of the students that you talked to.
One of the students I talked to was a student who goes by Gabe. He didn't want to use his name. And this was very common in people with my conversations with students at different encampments. Like, they either didn't want to use their name at all, or they only wanted to use their first name because they've seen, you know, like, students who've spoken up in support of the Palestinian cause getting their job offers rescinded. And this student in particular was worried about his medical school admissions offers being rescinded.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And he himself is Palestinian. So I think, you know, obviously this movement means a lot to him. Mm-hmm. And he talked about what he wants from his administration. And I have some tape of that.
It's just like, how am I supposed to come here, right, and then look at this administration and then remember, oh, not only are they killing my people, they refuse to even acknowledge it.
Okay, so let's talk about Northwestern University. There's also a student protest encampment there.
We stand in solidarity with all the students here today.
You were there for that as well. Tell me about what you saw and how did it compare to the University of Chicago?
There were a lot of similarities, but when it went up, the circumstances were a little different because police showed up right away and were immediately trying to dismantle the encampment.
Ah.
And students and also faculty members stepped in and said, you know, there was one who I think was caught on video saying, like, don't touch our students. And the police eventually did step down. And from that point on, they, for the most part, stayed very hands off. We're watching from a distance. Just, there was a little bit more separation, I feel like, between the community and the Northwestern encampment, just because they have this huge fence in front of it along Sheridan Road. So, like, you know, the university was, I was hanging out in the encampment for a bit and talking to students. But then I was, when someone figured out I wasn't student media, I was told to get on the other side of the fence. So there was, which a lot of people were upset about, you know, it's like, this is, you know, it's a private university, but also this is like a in the interest of the public, the fact that you're not allowing access, like, it's just not very democratic. But there were definitely a lot of similarities in how the camp was run in terms of like having the student marshals. And you know, one of the things I really noticed at Northwestern was just like this atmosphere of celebration, you know, like, the students were learning dances together. There was music. Like a lot of different people came to perform, not just, you know, give talks. I spoke to a faculty member yesterday about this, just like the very different student groups that came together to make this happen. Here's what she had to say about it. This is Elizabeth Shackman-Hurd, who is both a professor at Northwestern, and she's also a member of Educators for Justice in Palestine.
There were so many different groups represented. There were Christian services, there were Muslim services, there were Jewish services, all being held very respectfully. They had established trash pickup. They had everything except for mail service at this encampment. And that's probably because they don't have mail, because they're Gen Z and they don't use mail anymore. Everything's on their phones. But they had organized everything really impressively. And it was just kind of an inspiration to see how committed they were to this cause and how dedicated they were to supporting each other. And that's not something we always see. And it's not something I've ever seen at Northwestern in my 20 odd years here as a professor. So it was a really, I think, inspirational moment and an important moment for our community.
Tell me, how has Northwestern's administration handled this situation?
It has been so fascinating. As someone who like has kind of been following their response to Students for Justice in Palestine and divestment movements leading up to this point, they, as far as I know, like responded to faculty and students' requests to say, please keep campus police at a distance and engage in negotiations with us, which they did. I just talked to a student who was involved in those negotiations. And even she was like, I can't believe that, you know, they compromised on certain things. Hmm. They came to an agreement after 5 days that it's not full divestment. It's not actually divestment at all, but it requires the university to disclose their investments if students and faculty members request that. So, I mean, it doesn't sound like a big thing. And, you know, I was talking to the student who was involved with negotiations about this, how this, like, it sounds boring, you know, but it's also like if you just understand how much of a lack of transparency there's been around where a university invests its dollars, like that's huge. Any student can ask, like, is Northwestern investing in this company that may, you know, support the military attacks on Gaza, and the university has to respond within 30 days. And then, you know, there are other measures in the agreement that will allow for or bring 5 Palestinian students to campus and fund the rest of their undergraduate educations. It's also going to bring a couple of Palestinian scholars to the campus.
This is a part of the agreement?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So I think the agreement's been kind of attacked from both sides.
Tell me about dissent. What has the response been from groups, specifically at Northwestern, when it comes to this agreement, who don't support the stance that students are taking?
There's definitely been a backlash against the agreement in particular. 3 Jewish groups, the Anti-Defamation League Midwest, Stand With Us, and the Brandeis Center, all say the agreement is an embarrassment, and that President Michael Shill, the president at Northwestern, should resign for what they say is giving in to protesters, and protesters who they view were acting in ways that were anti-Semitic. So there's definitely been that backlash there, as well as there's a group of Northwestern students that are suing the university because they made this agreement with the organizers as well. So
gotcha.
There are definitely people who are very, very upset with the agreement that was reached, and that the administration would negotiate with the protesters at all.
I want to get a little more into the backlash because I know you mentioned, you know, there's people who are against the agreement that Northwestern came to with students. But, you know, there's people who are like, y'all should not be here at all. Y'all should not be speaking about this at all in the way that you are. Tell me about the reaction at Northwestern, University of Chicago, and elsewhere in the area for students who are against these protests.
There have definitely been counter protests at both campuses.
Okay.
You know, for example, at Northwestern, there was a relatively large counter protest by students supporting Israel on Sunday. And then I also saw that happen at UChicago. It was a very small counter protest, but there was a group of pro-Israeli students there on the first day as well. And I should say some just community members, community organizations believe that the students in these encampments are practicing anti-Semitism in their criticism of Israel and threatening Jewish students. And I think, you know, students in these encampments would say that is not the case. You know, we can criticize Israel without being anti-Semitic. Look, we have Jewish students who are part of our encampments. You know, I heard that first day at the Northwestern encampment, I heard a Jewish student speak to the other protesters, and she was just saying, like, I'm Jewish myself. You know, Passover is this week, but Passover can't go on as it usually does because of this thing that's happening, mm-hmm. the tens of thousands of Palestinians that have been killed. And that's not what Passover is about, you know. And she and other people just said this is a safe space, including for Jewish students. Mm. And criticizing this violence does not make me anti-Semitic. But, you know, there are people who feel that it is anti-Semitic. And so we're definitely seeing a backlash from some groups, some students that are very unhappy that Northwestern, as they see it, gave in to these protesters. Mm-hmm.
I just want to clarify this a little bit more. If a person is saying that by virtue of criticizing Israel, that is an act of anti-Semitism, do you have a sense, just based on like people you've talked to and your reporting, of the reasoning behind that?
Like
if you speak out against Israel, that's anti-Semitic.
Oh, that is a deep question. It just goes back to the Zionist movement and the idea that Jews have a right to a homeland. And when you and, you know, that also goes back to the fact that Israel is defending this violence as like they're saying, you know, we're defending ourselves. We were attacked in October, and this is what happens when you attack us. We have to defend ourselves. So I think if you are then attacking the violence that is being perpetrated on Palestinians, there is this notion that you are then questioning the Israelis' right to be a nation, you know, and for Jews to have a homeland.
Mm-hmm. Defend themselves against attacks to that homeland.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there's a lot of disagreement about that, you know, people trying to kind of separate out, this is criticism of Israel, this is anti-Semitism. Like, anti-Semitism is attacking people for having a Jewish identity, not criticizing Israel over the violence that they are perpetrating on the Palestinians.
Yeah. So when we look at these protests at other colleges and universities around the country, we're seeing people getting arrested, big police presence, right? It allowed to come in and do as they do. We have violence that's happening. Students getting injured at the hands of other students, at the hands of police, at the hands of, you know, community members, community members being injured as well. There's vandalism happening. I mean, pandemonium, one might say. Are we seeing that here in Chicago at all?
No, I mean, I think that's what's been really striking about these protests is that, like, there was the initial, like, clash when the Northwestern encampment went up. But then after that, it just, you know, the protesters kept saying, like, we're expecting the police to come. And there was, like, definitely anxiety over that. But they, like I said, really did just, like, give the students breathing room to have these encampments and make their calls for divestment. Same at UChicago. As far as I know, the police there have been very hands-off and just like allowing the students a space to be together, organize. You know, they're holding things like teach-ins and musical performances, and you know, as long as they're being respectful of the space, as far as I can tell, the police are staying hands off. And that's so different from what we've seen at, you know, Emory and what just happened in Columbia with riot police being sent in the middle of the night to clear out students. UCLA, it's a very, very different situation. And I think the protesters, from what I've heard, have been very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Lisa Corian Phillip is the higher education reporter at WBEZ. Lisa, thank you so much.
Thank you, Erin.
Now, this has been a really fast-moving story, so much so that things have changed since we recorded it on Thursday afternoon. Earlier this week, the University of Chicago said it would allow encampments to remain as long as protesters didn't disrupt campus operations and learning. But today, Friday, the university president, Paul Olivasados, issued a statement saying that the encampments have now created, quote, systemic disruption of campus. He wrote that they could not reach an agreement with protesters and that, quote, the encampment cannot continue. If you want to stay updated on this, Lisa is reporting on air at 91.5 FM. You can tune in there for the latest. And that's it for today. Justin Bull, Sarah Stark, and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve edits the show. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Justin was also the engineer for this episode. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. And a shout out to Adorna Migade, Lisa Labis, Lauren Frost, Emily Seiberg, and Katie O'Connell for their work on our morning and afternoon episodes. Special shout out to Susie Ahn for filling in this week as well. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.